You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before we get started, I want to personally invite you to Nashville this October for the Pipeline Conference. This year's theme is all about succession. We'll be talking succession all the way from senior leadership at a church down to the preschool volunteer. So this conference is really for everyone. Bring your whole staff. Bring a buddy. Call a friend. Speakers include John Piper, Bob Russell, H.B. Charles, Tom Rayner, Tammy Heim, and many, many more. To register, go to myleadershippipeline.com. Again, that's myleadershippipeline.com. Now, enjoy the podcast. You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Todd Atkins, and I'm here with a plethora of people for episode 200. Multiple hosts, something like that.
For our quote-unquote 200th episode.
It is multiple hundreds.
Well, 200. Okay.
Now, there's a little bit of a controversy, maybe discrepancy, on actually what number this is.
Just like who has the real home run record.
That was Barnabas Piper. Barnabas Piper's voice popped in.
He's back in.
Is this like 200 with an asterisk?
Well, you just unveiled a little bit of secrecy to me earlier today about the 100th episode.
That's true.
What about the 100th episode?
The 100th episode was actually our 101st episode.
What happened with that?
But we made one of our earlier episodes conveniently disappear because we didn't like it, and then 101st became our 100th.
Who was speaking on it? Don't say it.
Yeah, we're gonna
Todd interview.
We'll wipe that from the record.
Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah, no, there was an interview that we wiped from the record, and so our 101st became our 100th.
Expunged even.
Wow. So this is really 201, but 10
episodes. I think 204, maybe.
I don't know.
This is probably going to be like 205 or something. 207.
We decided to throw in Pipeline Week, and when we did, it messed everything up a little bit.
But what is true is that there's been 1 million downloads.
Yeah, that was last month.
Which is a huge thing.
It's a great thing.
You just said, like, I'm not allowed to
celebrate
that.
We should have
that.
Celebrated it, and now I feel bad because, like, how do you post-celebrate something? I didn't know that it was that big of a deal until I was talking to other people.
I mean, I was just offline still celebrating the fact that the New Orleans Saints, where I grew up,
goodness,
won the Super Bowl in 2010.
post-celebrating is perfectly valid. I'm still holding on to the 91 World Series champion for the Twins. So.
Yeah, it's totally valid, Todd. It was only a month past a mil. So it's
a month past a mil. All right, fine.
Somebody asked us, we're going to ask random people, just the four of us sitting around the table, Todd Atkins,
what?
Barnabas Piper,
hello,
Daniel M,
hello,
and Eric Geiger, me, questions, maybe you're wondering, since we've done 200 and something of these. So the first would be, Todd, you hired him and you started the podcast with him, and all of a sudden he just dropped off. So question number one,
he left me.
What happened to Barnabas?
the great news, and we talked about this once before on the podcast.
I sense some spin coming.
Transitioning. Why do you sense spin?
We'll hear Todd's answers, and then we'll hear Barnabas's answer.
You get the rest of the story. So there was an opportunity inside the building where Barnabas had, he could go out and lead others.
So I knew about this because... Yeah. So you report to me, and so does a guy who now Barnabas works for named Jim Baird, who oversees our academic area. He came to me and said, Jim Baird is awesome, super smart, and he wears sweatpants to meetings sometimes.
Adidas wind pants with like the stripes down the side.
Sweatpants, like, if they have pockets on the side.
Have you ever done tearaways?
They count as cargo pants.
Yeah, in his mind, they're cargo pants, but in everyone else's mind, they're sweatpants. But he's a...
With a button down.
With a button down, tucked in button down sweatpants. Full Jim Baird. Baird.
But, I don't think I could get that away.
That's Jim Baird, man. Jim Baird can pull it off.
He can.
Because I will say, I mean, home dude Jim Baird is an effective leader, doing incredible work. Our academic area is just serving institutions, serving students really, really well, experiencing a lot of growth. Jim's doing an incredible job. So he comes to me and says, hey, I want Barnabas Piper to lead our marketing area. And I'm thinking, oh man, Todd Atkins is going to freak. And I said, dude, I think Barnabas would be awesome. Gave some great feedback on Barnabas. And I said, man, I think you should talk to Todd. Todd, of course, does the wise thing as a leader and says, hey, I'd like a long runway to hand things from Barnabas to other people.
Yeah.
Jim, I think, missed that part.
He missed that part.
Because next time Jim's like, yeah, Barnabas started January 1. Todd thought it was like March.
And this was like middle of December when these conversations were happening. So this is not a lengthy runway.
That's why Barnabas, he got a promotion.
He
started
did.
Overseeing other people and working in a different apartment, still on our team at Lifeway. But I guess at that point, Barnabas, you said, man, Jim Baird's giving me such big goals, like I can't even do a podcast anymore.
Well, yeah, the work schedule. This was a part of my work when I was on the leadership development team. So it was easy to build into the week. Like this was a standard thing that I did with Todd and Daniel and any guests. And then when my calendar started filling up with meetings from other people, I was like, I have to put my priorities
there. Yeah. Meetings are one of the many tools.
Well, here's the other thing. The team that I work on is largely remote, which means that a lot of it is like a conversation you need to have is a scheduled meeting because they're in Austin, Texas, they're in Missouri, they're in South Carolina. And so it's just a totally different workflow. So I missed doing the podcast. It was great. I was glad I was here for the first 150 to 60 episodes.
Is that really the number?
I said ish.
I wrote down three multiple choice. If someone asked me, hey, what happened to Barnabas?
Give me your multiple choice of what happened to Barnabas.
This is what happened to Barnabas. and you can, you know, you can believe the story that I just told you that he got promoted. That would be option A.
Is this two truths and a lie?
No.
Three lies.
One of these is true. It can be option A. He got a promotion.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Or you could say that was all a fable, and it could be one of the other two options. Option B. Is org chart. Option B would be Eric kind of sat in the sidelines, didn't really think this podcast would have much legs, and all of a sudden started blowing up. And
he saw a million downloads in the near future.
And said, you know what? Barnabas is no longer doing the podcast. I'm doing the podcast. That could be option B.
It could happen.
I got Wally pipped.
Could have been.
I don't even know what that means.
Lou Gehrig held the consecutive game streak in baseball for like 70 years. His first game was when the Yankees' first baseman, Wally Pipp, missed it with an injury. So Lou Gehrig stepped in and never missed another game for the rest of his career. So if you get Wally Pipped, it means like you call in sick and somebody takes your job.
Wally Pippen.
So I got Wally Pipped by Eric Geiger.
You brought basketball into Pippen. That.
Yeah.
I like that. It's convergence. Oh, what's your B?
B would be he got the org chart. And then the last one would be he started working for ESPN. As in case you don't know, Barnabas is multi-talented. He's able to wax eloquently about leadership and theology and spiritual transformation, but he also can talk about sports a whole lot. And so maybe he's just saying he's still at Lifeway and he's really behind the scenes. Really
with you from Bristol, Connecticut, in our palatial studios.
It's actually A. It's not B or C.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. All right. It's true.
Well, I'll go ahead and ask the second question. So the way we're going to do this, since we have like a room full of dudes, is only whoever's asking the question doesn't get to answer it. So what's your... everybody already knows my answer to this question, Simon Sinek. Answer from any guest?
That's pursuing the savvy right there. That's really well done.
Barnabas, Daniel, isn't it weird when Todd quotes Simon Sinek? Every time he's done it, he like pulls up his shirt and says, look, I'm getting goosebumps.
I don't do that.
You have done that multiple times.
It's weirder when he pulls up the back of his shirt and he's like, look at the tattoo I got.
So, Eric, you've known Todd the longest.
Yep.
Long has he done
that? That's not thing? One of the questions on here.
But no, that's one of the things we'd change about the podcast. That's the last question.
It's a validation of something being awesome. Like, look, I'm getting goosebumps. It's really happening.
But how many years
I'm filled with the spirit?
It's about 10 years. 10 years of goosebump action. Maybe longer. It's a lot of goosebumps, Todd, you've had in your life.
Yes, I have.
So the question was, again, that you already answered.
What's your favorite answer from any guest?
All right, I'll go first. Bob Russell, when he was on the podcast a month or so ago, he was talking about Succession and we were talking about our upcoming pipeline conference. So he was talking about Succession at every level. And he said this, that there are so many guys who had someone ready to pass their ministry off to, ready in the wings, ready and able, but they just waited 5 years too long.
Mm.
Dang. And because of that, the successor left.
They lost the opportunity. Yeah. That is really good.
And it's especially meaningful coming from him because he handed off the reins to his ministry when it was thriving. He was in good health. Yeah. Like there was no outside reason to say it's time for Bob to go, other than he knew that the ministry would be healthier if he did it then instead of waiting 5 years.
He had the person.
Yeah.
And he did. Persons. I mean, he could have gone another 10 years.
Because he hired both. He hired both Dave and Kyle.
Yeah.
They were there in his pipeline.
That's legit. He did it legit.
Yeah. And I just, when he said that, I was like, how many people right now are either saying, I had the person. Mm. I had the person. Or they're trying to figure out, okay, but I don't have a plan. Yeah. I don't know what my next steps are. And there's fear that drives, you know, maybe it's a God thing that person is there and the ministry is going the way it is, but fear steps in.
That's a good one. I'm going to go on the Wayback Machine for this one to the very first episode we released, which was with my dad.
That's special, man. That's
so
really
this
cool.
is this is he passed on a piece of advice from his dad, so my grandfather, and it was the it was from the question, "What would you tell your 20-year-old self?" And the piece of advice that my granddad gave to my dad was, "Keep the room clean where you are until God opens a door to the next room." And it was timely for me, and it's something that I'm not a terribly patient person. And so just that kind of conceptual advice to just sort of, that's the thing that I can just sort of hold on to and just say, keep the room clean. So anytime I get impatient, anytime I'm waiting for the next opportunity, my tendency is to go start trying to create a door where there isn't one and forget about handling my business where I am. And then obviously there's the added benefit of that being something that my granddad passed on to my dad, and he then passed on to our listeners and to me in that, I think it was the very first episode we did.
It was.
So that's the answer that has stuck with me the longest and the clearest.
Keep the room clean.
Keep the room clean where you are until God opens the door to the next room.
So steward where you are.
Yeah. You are in a place, God put you in a place, take care of it. So if you're waiting for, whether it's another position, if it's a relational thing, if it's a, it's just kind of whatever you are, don't, you have a responsibility where you are.
That's super wise. So for me, I just thought there's so many good, that's why I love the podcast, just great, great wisdom from so many people. So I'm just going the most recent, the last conversation we had, Ty, was with Christine Kane, and her articulation of Judges chapter 2, of her motivation for being sure that the faith is passed on from one generation to another, it just really, it really struck me and fired me up. When you know Judges 2, basically after Joshua dies, a whole generation comes up that doesn't know what the Lord has done for his people, doesn't know what the Lord has done for Israel, and how terrifying it is that how quickly a group of people can forget when leadership development or raising up new leaders isn't intentional. Yeah. And so that really, I guess we recorded that last week, and it's I've thought about it throughout the weekend multiple times.
Yeah, I love that. So our next question is, what is one thing you have learned from a guest and applied to your leadership?
I'll go first on this one. So having moved into a position now where I have a small team that I help oversee, it's nice to have 200-ish episodes under my belt of wisdom to draw from. And a consistent thing that has come up on this podcast, so it's not an answer, but kind of a theme, is the importance of raising up those underneath you. So not sort of leading down, but lifting them up. So talking up the talent underneath you, hiring talent, passing on credit. So rather than hoarding the credit as the one who is in management or in leadership, but passing that along. And this is sort of a new opportunity for me. So to have heard that so freshly from a lot of great leaders, and then to be in a position where I can put it into practice and say, no, you know, Nathan did that. Like, that was all him. He took care of that project. And so to pass on the credit and then to try to put people in a position to take on new challenges, to succeed with the idea that in a year or 18 months, they'll get promoted, they'll move on. And so even if they move off of my team to somewhere else, putting them in a position to advance, it all just seems very concrete and real in a way that was a bit more theoretical before. Kind of, I would see it happen around me, but being able to invest in those things is, a lot of the words from our guests and then from you guys kind of echo in my head as I'm having conversations going, oh, this is an opportunity to.
Well, we saw it happen on our team. I mean, our team is almost completely flipped. Daniel is one of the oldest team members, and he's been here for two years.
He's an old man.
He's an old man. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
One of the conversations that we had, so I learned a lot from Todd in this conversation, and is also...
Oh, I'm getting goosebumps right now.
Joe's those goosebumps. Todd, put your shirt back on.
I can't unsee that.
I have learned this from Todd, and he reminds us over and over again, and Brad Lomanick and Todd and I were having this conversation, and I gave, as a joke, gave credit to Brad for saying this and tweeted it as if Brad said it, but it was really Todd that said it.
I don't even remember
what
it was.
That was probably not a good thing. Basically, if you only buy leaders instead of building them, you believe in leadership placement, not leadership development. And so Todd has emphasized that a lot, and it's really impacted how I think about the people on our team. So the people in the division that I'm responsible for, who I don't even know super well, who work on other teams, but realizing that we have a lot of incredible talent here, and to think, do we have the right systems in place to develop them, to lift them up to new opportunities and new places where they'll be able to thrive and flourish and serve the kingdom in great ways, instead of just looking to poach from other places. So that's been a really helpful conversation for me that I've learned from Todd and from others that we've had on the podcast.
I think for me, I think if for listeners who have been with us for a long time, they probably key in on things that that we're learning because we're constantly talking about. So if you'll notice, if you go back and listen, Barnabas was really keying in on anybody that was talking about curiosity. And it did seem like a lot of our guests, you didn't prompt them.
I think he was honestly using the podcast to write his book.
There were a number of quotes from the podcast that ended up that in my book. That is true. With proper attribution, I did not attribute them to Brad Lomanick if he did not say them.
But Winston Churchill.
It's always Winston Churchill.
Or G.K. Chesterton. Yeah.
Two of my favorite people. One of the interesting things for me has always been, if you hear me talk about feedback, if you hear me talk about counseling and just some of the important pieces of opening yourself up to other people's feedback. And it really does go back to it goes back to multiple conversations, honestly. I mean, even what you referenced with your dad, keeping the room clean. I mean, you know, even in the last 2 weeks, I've had a conversation with Daniel about, hey, this is something that I said in front of a group of people where I said, I built Daniel up like he is going to, like I could work for Daniel at some point, but then within two sentences,
that's one thing I was planning on talking to you about. Actually,
within two sentences, I also reminded them that I had hired him and right. that he was on my team.
Yep.
And so whether that was fully conscious or subconscious, it was something that like weighed enough on me that I'm like, oh, I got to get this out. I gotta, I always want to be I want to be that kind of leader that is always making sure that my relationships are clean and we keep short accounts mm-hmm. as much as possible.
That's good.
So I'm probably likely to out myself sometimes more than I should, but that's something that
not an easy thing to do in a leadership position, though.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it's too easy to just let it roll, and there's kind of that prick on your conscience, you're like, should I say something? And a lot of times leaders just kind of, you're just like, whatever, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's easy to let the moment pass really or let that, yeah. that sense.
Well, and it's a risk too, because yeah. then he might think, he might be more sensitive to that, you know, in the future, or may think something.
Or he's just gunning for your job now.
It could be.
He's too very godly. Well, he's too godly for that.
He's so godly. He's godly, more godly.
Question four. What has been your favorite topic discussed on the podcast? So I'm assuming this means like the thematic podcast.
Yes. The so five leadership questions about.
So favorite topic, ready, go. Who's first?
I looked at the list before we came in, and I still enjoy talking about this particular subject because every time that we talk about it or I've written on it, people have said that is so helpful, more needs to be talked about, and that's lateral leadership. Mm. So we had a whole podcast on lateral leadership.
If only Kevin Spratt could be here.
He does. Kevin did use that word a lot, and rightfully so. It's a great, it's an important concept. It's an area that I know I'm emphasizing more and more with our team. As without great lateral leadership, really big things won't happen, because big things require multiple teams being coordinated. And so lateral leadership, to me, I think it's going to be something that we talk more and more about in the future. It's each time we've talked about it, I've had text message or emails from friends who are like, that is the biggest struggle I'm having with my team right now, or the biggest struggle that we're having in our multi-campus church. Or,
totally.
It's a big issue.
If you look at how culture is shifting and organizational culture is shifting, it's only going to get it's only going to be more and more of an issue where people have to be able to lead laterally in order to be successful.
And even in contexts where it's work from anywhere, or there's more of this remote team idea where you don't have those, hey, let's just go to lunch together and build relationships. Let's just hang out. Or you don't have those hallway conversations. It's harder and harder to lead laterally because you don't have that relational capital or equity built up.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like parachuting into somebody else's business when you're trying to do that. I have a follow-up question for you, Eric. So you sit over a division, so there's multiple directors and even more managers under them, under you, but you're talking about lateral leadership. So how do you position the people under you to lead laterally, sort of without having to insert yourself into the leadership that they're doing, if that makes sense?
It does make sense. You have to establish clear processes and clear understanding of who is the authority in this decision, and then who's running point, and then where everybody else is invited to provide influence into the overall. And then we have to set big goals and big clarity about here's what we're trying to accomplish, and invite all of those teams to participate with clarity about what their role is in the goal. And so there's just constant communication on that priority, clarity about every team's responsibility in the goal.
Gotcha.
Good deal.
Todd, what's your favorite topic?
Man, I'm going to have to say organizational culture, because we come back around to that. It seems like again and again and again. There was an episode where the three of Barnabas and Eric and
I can't see you pointing, Todd.
Organizational culture, and that was one I think I got the most outside feedback on. Beyond that, I would say one of the things that I appreciate about everybody around this table is we all read, and we all read a lot. And so the fact that I think it's amazing that we're able to bring so much content into the conversation. So
I was a little afraid we were going to run out when we started this podcast.
Run out of topics?
Yeah, just be like, you know, let's give it a few months, and then like we're just going to have to start repeating stuff. But it has not been an issue.
Totally. I answered two emails today about, you know, and both triggered, oh, here's a topic we need to discuss. One was Emerson Eggerich, his new book on about email before you hit send. And, you know, we've all sent emails that just didn't go the way we planned. So one, I think, is
never. I don't know what you're talking about.
I do want to talk about email at some point. It's one of the things I hate the most. But and then another is how to lead a good staff retreat. Yeah. You know, so those were two things, and I'm like, wow, those are really good subjects that we haven't tackled yet. Yeah. And so the hows are one of my favorite how tos. Yeah. Are one of my favorite.
That's good.
Things we do.
For me, it's when we talk about assessments. Personality assessments, and particularly when we talked about StrengthsFinder. So for the last 10 years, I've been coaching and—
Did that give you goosebumps?
On both arms. But I mean, I love it because StrengthsFinder is just, it's such a practical tool. And it's cool to see just how mainstream the assessments become over the last decade and a little bit even more than that. And the way that even though we bring it up time and time again, and in the way that we lead and coach, and even with our interns that come here every summer, right? I always teach them on strengths funner. It's just so cool to see the lights go off in their heads where they're like, oh, okay, so this is what it looks like to not just focus and dwell on my weaknesses. Yeah, I can manage them, but what does it actually look like to build my life upon my strengths and to see the potential and the dreaming and all that comes out as a result of that?
Yeah, and obviously personality assessments, gifts assessments come up on this podcast
fairly often.
Weekly? Pretty often. Yeah, I mean, if it's not Myers-Briggs, it's StrengthsFinder. If it's not StrengthsFinder, it's DISC. If it's not DISC, it's something. Have y'all done anything on the Enneagram since I left?
Oh, goodness.
I'm hearing more and more about that. People are starting to put that in their profiles.
you get like a seven wing eight and people are like, oh, I know exactly what that is. Yeah, it sounds like people are talking in coded language when you go sit in like a East Nashville coffee shop.
And you realize you are essential oils somebody right now with your...
I'm not making fun of it.
You threw in essential oils. Man,
I did.
There's a whole bunch of folks that are hitting stop right now.
But that's okay. They already downloaded. You're part of our million. Thank you. Who's got the next question?
All right, that would be me. If you could change one thing about the podcast, what would it be?
Tom, I'd put some essential oils up in here.
Which ones?
Hey, don't knock the essential oils in.
No.
Would it be something for like serenity? Would it be something for physical health? What are we going for here?
I don't know.
Would you rub something on the bottom of your feet?
Is coffee an essential oil?
Yes.
It'd be more essential than oil.
That's okay. So I was where I'm going with, if I could change one thing, is I would do one more. You went ahead of me.
He poached.
I would do one more a week, which I know that sounds insane. Mm. I would do one on books.
You're letting the cat out of the...
No, we may do it eventually, but...
Like a single book? Like a book summary kind of thing?
Let me break this down for you. Book. So let's, you know, we reference all these books, but let's take one and let's like...
Do you know what's perfect about that idea?
What?
Is that when we started this podcast, half the reason we started this is because Todd wouldn't blog.
That's true.
Todd would not write.
This is Barnabas' way to...
And so in order to get Todd's leadership content and insights, like we were hearing it in the office all the time.
He's got a ton of content in his head.
In his head.
He does way better in front of a microphone in a meeting than he does in front of a keyboard.
Good presenter, won't sit down and write it out. So I was like, okay, well, it's podcast. Yep. So what you just described... in my mind is like a weekly blog post, but also works really well as a podcast, which makes perfect sense for you. So I wasn't joking when I was like, this is perfect. Like, it fits exactly why we started this podcast 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Something like 2+ years ago.
That's all I got. You already went.
What would a live episode look like in Daniel's mind?
I mean, there's...
lots of goosebumps
everywhere. Goosebumps all around.
There are a ton of podcasts that try this, and you know, some are always live, and others do live episodes here,
like
and
with
there.
An audience.
Yeah, with an audience, and it's the content that we address, both interviews and also on. Maybe it's a mix of both, and you do maybe it's an hour and a half with an intermission in between, and you do some giveaways. But I think it'd be a fun...
And you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car.
I think it'd be a fun opportunity because those who listen to our podcast, right, both for me, the new churches, for Todd and I, the new churches, and also for this one, it's just neat to see the number of people that come up and always comment on not what we've written, but on the podcast.
Totally.
Right? And to bring all those people together and do a live show, I think it'd be pretty fun.
We could do it with somebody in Nashville. So like a Donald Miller, that would be a good one.
I think that was the one episode you were like, I think Barnabas was drooling over.
He was sweating. He had goosebumps.
Yeah, that one stands out in my mind as a single episode because he got off on talking about plot lines and story and writing. It was great.
Another really fun one with somebody local was the She Reads Truth girls.
Yep.
That was like
Rachel and Amanda.
An NPR
they're great
episode.
Yeah, that was like an equal parts wonderful insights on their part and two people who are a lot of fun to have conversations with.
Hey, when your last name is Bible.
That's right. Middle name.
Maiden name.
I think it's her maiden
name. My name's Amanda Bible Williams.
I'd like the first question I asked her was, is that real? Or did you just like drop that in for brand sake?
It's real.
Yeah, nope. That's what she said. She's like, no, I was born with it.
I'm going for a bonus question. What are your first or middle names go? Eric.
What is my first name?
First or middle name?
Eric. And middle.
Oh, Benjamin.
Oh, I didn't know.
Okay.
What you got?
Barnabas William.
That's a lot of syllables.
Daniel Sangi.
All right.
now your Twitter profile makes sense to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, because Daniel M is another guy.
I thought you maybe
he thought Sangi
came to Lifeway just trying to get Daniel Tiger or something. I didn't know.
Yeah, so Daniel M, there's another Daniel M that's a professional golfer, same age.
Okay.
So he's from California.
Is his name Daniel Sangi?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
But a lot of my childhood friends and my family and my wife as well, they call me Sangi by my Korean name. So I just said, hey, let's do my first. It is kind of my two first names.
This is a good bonus question, Ty.
So that's like, so you have Daniel and Sangi. Is that technically a middle name or is it a Korean name and an English name?
So Sangi is my Korean name,
okay.
But it is officially my middle name.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was cool. You picked depending on which country you were in.
Yeah. Okay. He wins over Benjamin and William. He wins.
Yeah.
No,
sorry.
I think Todd's middle name.
You don't know.
I know. This is going to be really good for all our audience. They all know him as Todd.
I have goosebumps right now.
My middle name is Todd.
Yeah.
I know.
That's what it is.
James Todd.
Yeah, I knew that.
I was actually named, believe it or not, after my grandmother.
Her name was James?
James.
Wait, I was kidding.
No. Her name was James Gladys.
I thought he was kidding too. Wait, hold on a second. Her grammy's name was James.
Yeah, her name was James Gladys and her
Kentucky dad's doesn't name really was understand James how names
Todd.
Work.
Her dad's name was James Todd, but I got named after her because my sister got named after my grandfather.
Are any of these people like your grandmother and your aunt?
James. She was her first name was James, but she went by Gladys.
I don't blame her.
Was there ever a point where James was a
and James is my
name?
Son
like yeah, in American
know.
History
yeah.
just
know.
That one
Hey, did you know that pink used to be a boy color and blue used to be the girl color? I just discovered that this last week.
I know that.
Oh, see,
what are you trying to do here?
Gender fluidity started so long ago. This is
nothing new.
I'm just trying to figure out. Like,
are you going to end our podcast?
Well, I haven't answered the question yet.
Oh, good. Who determined that, hey, you know, we're just going to switch the colors. We're just going to switch the colors and see what happens. Like, which marketer was that?
I don't know, man. Yeah. Somebody trying to sell more stuff, I guess.
All right. What are you going to change?
Well, I feel a little bit. I feel a little bit like I don't have a leg to stand on to come in, like to drop back in after all of these weeks and months and be like, you guys need to change this and this and this. So the only thing I would say that I would change is I would like to get back on the podcast periodically. So not to replace Eric, who has org charted me right out of here.
That was the option.
Lou Gehrig over here. Wally Pipp would like to get
Wally
back Pipp. In the game.
You've been Wally Pipped.
So periodically, if I could get back in the game.
We'd love to have
that
you,
would
man.
Be that would be a great change.
That's what today is. You're
I really,
back in the game.
I really like the live episode idea too. That's a good one.
I think it's good.
So is the book fun. One. That's It'll a lot of work.
All right, here's my change. It's a little risky. I do think it'd be good to record it at night after our kids have gone to bed. Sometimes in the middle of the day, I'm rushing from a meeting. I've got something about to hit right after. I just wonder if at night, the problem is that the technology, because we don't live together in a frat house. You know, we all have.
No, although we could.
Todd got goosebumps at that idea.
It's like,
not a frat house, a compound. A compound with like land.
I'm not feeling it.
We can have a lake.
This man has enough guns for a compound to sound real scary to me.
I just need
Branch Davidian over here.
So you would like us to all live in the same general land so we could come together a couple times a week and record a podcast?
Sure. Let's do it.
Let's go and talk to our families about it. See what the options are.
Nice plot of land. 20 acres. It would be great.
Yeah,
we don't need a crazy amount of land.
And a mule.
I do think nighttime,
there's
not another meeting after. Of course, you know, it's also probably challenging for our guests too. But anyway.
It would be, especially at night.
Zencaster works pretty well for remote podcasts, just saying. Just putting it out there.
There's something about interacting with each other live.
What the listeners would say, here's one thing we wish you changed.
I bet they can tell when we're not together.
Yeah, the quality.
You mean the quality goes down?
The quality does.
Quality, and then there's just something about being in the same room.
Being able to see each other.
Seeing each other, playing off each other.
That's true.
Especially with guests, because the guests are often, it's just audio, no video. And so if we could be on site with guests for every one of those interviews, that would be a great change. Logistically, that's not possible, but it would be great.
All right.
Who's landing this plane?
Any other bonus questions?
Any other topics to throw out there?
I think we should add a lightning round.
Todd, what's your Enneagram number?
The guy who set the rule, laid the ground rule for how questions and answers are going to happen.
This is an example of a bad meeting. You fill the amount of time
we already have
allotted. So it's looking at the clock and we have more time. So let's just talk about something else.
A lightning round would be a good idea. Sound effects and a lightning round.
Yeah. Pew, pew, pew,
hey,
pew,
you
pew.
Guys watch. Next episode, we're going to have a lightning round. Mark it down.
I've got goosebumps right now.
You've been listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast.
And this was our 200th
episode. We apologize.
Not really.
But please go on iTunes and leave us a rating and review and tell 5 friends about us. Thanks for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before you go, we want to invite you one more time to join us in Nashville this October 11th through 13th for the Pipeline Conference. It's important to also note this conference did sell out last year. So if you're planning on attending, go ahead and get in early.